Okay. Roll call. Alderman James. Present. Alderman McCallum.
Present.
Alderman Schnell.
Present.
Mayor Stanford.
Present.
Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
Alderman Bowles.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Next order of business, pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Moving on to 3.0, special presentation. There are none. 4.0, council reports and requests. 4.1, Mayor Smithers. 4.1.1, negotiations with Waste Management Incorporated for trash collection. I've put out for a proposal to Waste Management for twice a week household bulk recycling, as well as brush pickup. They said it'll take about 60 days to get a formal proposal in. Just to let y'all know that's going on. 4.1.2, items of community interest. Key day is June the 11th. You can also do your registration for the fishing tournament, which is June 25th. Moving on to...
I'm sorry, what was on June 11th?
Key day for the pier association. And then June 25th is the fishing tournament, and you can register during key day for that. Moving on to 5.0, public hearings and public comments. 5.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on this agenda. So I guess we will start over here. Do you have any?
I'm Neil Moyer, 1118 North Country Club Drive. I'd like to speak on items 7.2, 7.3, and 7.4. It appears over the last short period of time, several members of the council and the mayor have elected to conduct council business on the internet via the city's bulletin board. Some people seem to think that's great. It might make the meeting shorter. I think, though, it exposes the council members and the mayor in an area that they need to address, and that is ex parte communications. All the communications on the bulletin board appear to be ex parte communications. There may, in fact, be other ex parte communications which the council members have engaged in on council agenda items or items which are anticipated to be on the agenda in the future that have been made aware to the public on the bulletin board. I think all the council members and the mayor should declare on the items 7.2, 7.3, 7.4 any and all ex parte communications that they've conducted on these items or items that could be reasonably related to them, and that those ex parte communications be made part of the record tonight, including the time those ex parte discussions took place, who they took place with, and what the nature of that those discussions were. Thank you very much.
Darlene Bay, 602 Baywood. What is council without me up here? I'm not going to complain tonight because y'all usually hear about mosquitoes and pictures and vacant lots and houses. Not going to do that. What I am going to address is this community and this city. The last couple, 2-3 months have brought out the good in us and then the bad in us. The death of Abby was brought a community together, but this election has divided this city to the time that I've never seen it this divided before. You can say it's not, but it is. The election is over. The votes are tallied. someone, some loss. If you're candidate and win, then they can win. But we have to step forward and go forward for the best interest of the community. I would hope this happens. I don't know. I just hope. Because the citizens of Shore Acres deserves the best that y'all can bring to us. And when I went to the meeting of the city, of the state of the cities of Fort Morgan's Point, Shore Acres, a couple of months ago, I listened to the other two cities and how wonderful and progressive, how you say, Anthony, that they are. And then look at us and see how divided we are and all the issues we have. It's got to change. We can't do 7 more years of a deficit budget. We just can't. We can't even do probably 1 more year. I was told a couple of years ago we were in great shape. We're not in great shape. It only takes one massive infrastructure to blow what money we do have in reserves, and we don't have a whole lot left. So when y'all go into your meetings and do the budgets, remember that citizens out here are watching y'all. Thank you.
Joe Bunker is 2220. I was kind of curious to see what the agenda would hold tonight. My curiosity went to disappointment when I saw the same words being kicked around again and again and again. Referring to 7.3, put this thing to bed. It's long enough. It doesn't need to keep going. You're never going to get what you done need to do, what you promised to do in your campaign platforms. Nowhere in any of those did I read anything about witch hunts or trying to go after somebody. You need to work together and get the things done that were promised in your campaign platforms. 7.4, don't know why it's even on the agenda. if it costs more money, and from what I can see it does, but the deficit spending that people are talking about, you don't need to spend more. Don't need to spend more. It's almost laughable that it's even on here. Get back to what you promised to do in your campaign platforms.
Diane Victor, 3346 Miramar. For several years, I've been part of the Friends of Heron Park, and it's a volunteer group. And what we really do is look over the park and try to maintain the conservation preservation of the park, because it's a shelter for animals and what is anything wildlife. And we're going to have a little celebration in the park. And I wanted to personally invite council and the administration, Public Works, also our police department, who play a big part in helping protect the park. It's going to have our Richard Adams playing a little guitar. It's only a couple hours. There'll be a couple speakers at 5:30, short. It went out on the back of the water bill. Some of you may have seen it, but I just wanted, since it's a new council and everything, I wanted to extend an invitation to you all. I hope you can come. Okay, that's all.
Thank you.
And it's on the back of the have your water bills. Anybody else have homework? Anybody else?
We're going to move on to item 6.0, administrator report. Item 6.1, city administrator's report. Good to turn it over to Paul.
Good evening. On the West Country Club Drive project, you may have seen that work has stopped there or taken a respite. Some equipment is still left in place. The pipe bursting has been completed. The pipe was largely in worse shape than they had hoped it was, and so more pipe was replaced with bursting than was originally scheduled. That's not really a bad thing, in that it is a permanent fix with that pipe. That said, the pause that we have is waiting now, and this week we should be starting on the cured-in-place pipe, which is the portion where the pipe is mechanically in good shape and stopping it from further deterioration by lining it on the inside of the cured-in-place pipe. I say that work should start this week. It's only a 2 or 3 day process to do that. In the meantime, because the pipe bursting is done and the taps that were required in that have been completed and it is sealed in place, we're no longer bypass pumping. We're flowing through that pipe and we'll continue to flow through that pipe until the cured in place process starts and stops. They won't even necessarily need to bypass pump. They'll make that decision, but they may not even bypass pump depending on what the weather and conditions are. We may just put a plug in the pipe and do the cured in place and then reopen it. So we're getting very close. The one thing that will be the last thing that will happen and will be the most visible part is the repair of our concrete street surface. That was in the contract as well. Well, we spent a little bit more on the pipe bursting. There is good news in that you recall this was all a unit-priced project. So we only pay for what's done, and we don't pay for what's not done and on the HGAC buy board costing. In that original bid, we didn't know what the conditions would be when we dug down to the 12 or 13 feet. So it had well pointing in there, which is to lower the water table for the project. There were 5 well points in that project at $8,000 a piece. The water table cooperated with us, and they didn't have to put any well points in at all. So that's $40,000 that we had budgeted for the project that we went unspent. Now, some of that will be eroded by the more pipe bursting, but there is no indication we're going to come in over budget, and we also had put a contingency in there, and so those funds will be there at the end of the project. We've not paid anything on the project, and so we've not expended any funds yet, and so we've not transferred any money anywhere, even though we did do a budget amendment, and those funds have been allocated for the project. This also ends the issues we had with the odor problems that were caused by bypass pumping, where we're churning wastewater at the downstream manhole. So that issue should be resolved. Mr. Jennings walks his dog, I'm sure, by there, so thank you. Smells better. And that's all I have to report on the West Country Club Drive Sewer Project. Which then brings me to our next issue. And I had visited with council about the void that we had under Shoreacres Boulevard, an 8-inch line that comes this direction west. And we had an obstruction in Westview that was cleared by jetting the line out. That problem on Westview has reappeared. We have not expended any funds on that. Our expectation at this point is the same hydrogen sulfide gas that collects in from that manhole intersection of Westview and Shoreacres Boulevard, where the discharge for lift station number 2 is at, that the same hydrogen sulfide gas that eroded the top of pipe on Shoreacres Boulevard did the same thing to top of pipe on Westview. We have visited with a contractor, IPR, the same one that's doing West Country Club, and looked at what the approach to that is. It's a much smaller pipe. It's much less extensive damage. It can be addressed in a much less costly manner. Some of that's been scoped out. It's not been fully priced out. And we're just putting that on hold. It's not in a, it's causing us a little difficulty, but not major difficulty. We're pumping down the Westview and Oakdale manhole once a day, and you know, we're easily staying ahead of that. We don't have to leave a pump in place. It takes about an hour to do that, and we're managing that. The goal here is to get the accounting from West Country Club and see what funds are unexpended and see if we can allocate back to council and ask for allocating those funds for addressing this other project, which would be a much smaller scale, I think it's 8-inch line as opposed to 21-inch that we have on West Country Club. And so it would be a replacement of a really a pretty short section, about 50 to 100 feet on Schrager's Boulevard and less on Westview, and rehab that line. So it'll be coming back again. It's not critical, so we're not in a bind, and we'll see how much money we can save on West Country Club and see then what it's going to take to tackle those projects over on Westview and Schrager's Boulevard and put them to bed.
Question, Mr. Jennings?
Well, I know you said it's not critical, but the same odor problem exists there. So I know that you pull the hose out every day. I've been watching that, and the residents do complain about the odor. So
yeah.
Maybe we can move a little faster on this one.
When you say, what's the point source of the odor? Is it the one in the intersection?
Westview and Oakdale, that manhole.
Okay, I'll look into that. There shouldn't be any odor there. That is the that's the upstream manhole.
Okay. Is there any other questions from council? 6.2, monthly financial report.
In your packet is the monthly financial report. With the year-to-date accounting, and I would take you forward to our checking account balances. We have a substantial balance in the general fund checking account, $523,472. In our utility fund account, we have a balance of $22,888.97. In the community development checking account, the CDBG funds, we still have the balance of $22,779.92, and we're looking to see if that money, rather than going to FEMA for some other grant closures in that CDBG area, if that money is going to come back to us. And so not any big hurry to pay that back to somebody else if we're able to move that to the general fund. So we're moving slowly to see if we can get sign-off on those funds coming back to us. We did put $1,000 of seed money in that account to start the CDBG projects. And in theory, we'd only have $1,000 left over at the end. But we have been in some negotiations of what was insured and uninsured in our PA grants. And it looks like we may be able to get some of those funds, at least, coming back to us for uninsured losses. In text pool, which is our investment pool, we have a balance of $684,996.38. And then in our four certificate deposits, we have a maturity value of $255,852. Those are our cash balances. Our property tax valuation is $114,838,686. We had a little bit of growth this month from several of the accounts. We only collected $10,632.25 in current taxes, no delinquent taxes. And our year-to-date received on both 215 taxes and delinquent is $855,293.96. In our sales tax revenue, we're 2% above what we were for same month last year. April general sales tax, $6,194.04. And on our road maintenance sales tax, $1,548.51.
I have a question. Can we schedule the budgets meeting for June 20th?
Sure. Workshop?
Yeah.
June 20th?
Yeah.
Workshop from generally 6 p.m. to 6 p.m.?
Yeah, that's fine.
In the Tom Coleman room?
Yep, that's great.
All right.
Does anybody else have any questions? Moving on to 7.0 business. 7.1 consideration and approval of invoices.
I made a motion that we pay our bills.
Second.
So we have a motion to approve the invoices. Any questions?
Madam Mayor, I'm going to need you to state who made the motion and who made the second.
SMESC made the motion to approve the invoices. Ron Hoskins seconded the motion to approve the invoices.
Thank you.
So let the record show that we have a motion on the table, or a motion on the floor to approve the invoices.
Okay, let's vote.
Is there any discussion? Do you want to vote? Jennings?
Sure. Just all those in favor.
All those in favor of approving the invoices?
Aye.
Okay. So they have been approved. The motion to approve the invoices passed unanimously. Item 7.2.
At the request of the mayor, I'm going to withdraw that item.
So it has been withdrawn. If there's no objections, I want to move to 7.4 before we go to 7.3.
Would you do me one favor? Could you say out loud the name of the person that withdrew it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Alderman Jennings withdrew.
Thank you very much.
So item 7.4, discussion and action to adopt resolution number 2016-178, ending the appointment of Greg and Greg PC as city attorney, terminating legal services agreement with the law office of Greg and Greg PC, appointing Kimberly Nicholson as city attorney, and authorizing the mayor to execute a legal services agreement with the law firm of Olson and Olson.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2016-178, ending the appointment of Greg and Greg PC as city attorney, terminating legal services agreement with the law firm of Greg and Greg, appointing Kimberly Nicholson as city attorney, and authorizing the mayor to execute a legal services agreement with the law firm of Olson and Olson.
I second.
So there is a motion to adopt resolution number 2016-178, ending the appointment of Greg and Greg PC as city attorney, terminating legal services agreement with the law firm of Greg and Greg PC, appointing Kimberly Nicholson as city attorney, and authorizing the mayor to execute a legal service agreement with the law firm of Olson and Olson LLP. So it's open for discussion. Kimberly Nicholson is here, and I want to introduce her so that she can tell us a bit about Olson and Olson and what they have to offer us.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, Mr. Stahl, and residents. Ultimately, the city attorney represents the residents of the city. On behalf of the firm, I'm honored to come talk to you tonight about the possibility of our firm representing the city of Shore Acres. We know Greg and Greg well. We have worked with them in the past, and as often happens in this business, sometimes you get changes that happen through the political process. So we've been on this side of it. We've been on that side of it as well as the incoming side. Olson & Olson is a firm that was first founded by a former city attorney of Houston to provide representation to the smaller cities around the area. And we represent cities now across the state. We're 42 years old, I think, at this point. I started my practice with the city of El Paso as an assistant city attorney. I've been representing cities since that time for approximately 20 years and represent a number of smaller cities. I think they're the most fun. And so you have lots of different issues and involvement of people that I think sometimes you don't see at a larger firm or a larger city. Stephanie Carrion Bond's also here with me. She's a recent licensee, what, a year now? And we're thrilled to have her. She worked for our firm during the time she was in law school, so she's well-versed in the type of practice that we have. And what we're proposing is that myself with Stephanie would be providing the primary legal services to the city. A couple of things that I've talked about in kind of my philosophy in working with the city is that, you know, I want to get to know you. I want you all to get to know me. I want to make sure that we provide you the best legal services for, you know, a cost-effective, budget-sensitive, in a budget-sensitive role. Like I say, we work with small cities, so we know how that is in dealing with budget difficulties, and of course, aware of what's happened here recently with Hurricane Ike and so forth. That can take a while to go back. We've represented cities in the area from Seabrook to Clear Lake Shores to Taylor Lake Village. I've done specific special project work with El Lago, and then I represent Morgan's Point as their city attorney as well. Couple of things about my philosophy. I think my goal is to help you all figure out how to get done what you want to accomplish on behalf of your citizens. I try hard not to be a red light, what I call a red light lawyer, that is stop, you can't do that. I think my job is to try and help you figure out a way to get it done, advise you of the risks if I think that there are problems or issues with that. And I just want you to know I'm not afraid to tell you no if I really think it can't be done. But we'll try hard to make sure that you get things accomplished. I've mentioned to the city administrator and the mayor that a couple of things that I would propose doing in this kind of get-to-know-each-other period and hopefully even beyond, I do this with current clients today, is that we would have a discussion about agenda items or upcoming issues with the mayor and the city administrator on a regular basis prior to the council meeting so that I know what issues are coming up and what I need to be aware of and what information we need to provide to you, the city council and the city staff. I don't bill for this time. I want you all to understand because it's administrative time. I'm not thinking lawyeries yet. It's administration. But I have found it really helpful with other cities to kind of get to know what the issues are and to stay on top of things. I think it helps things not fall through the cracks. Another item that may be of interest to council, I hope it's of interest. I like to do these with councils on a fairly regular basis, but especially I know you have three new members on council now at this point, but is to conduct I'll call it a workshop training session for lack of a better word, but to kind of go over rules of parliamentary procedure, just some basic things about open government operations, what city attorney's role is, how we interact with council and so forth. It gives everybody kind of a chance to ask questions and clear the air or just get some of those basic things addressed. Honestly, I like to do those on a post-election basis, even if there's, even where I've represented a city for a fair amount of time, just because it helps to refresh everybody's memory. Those two we do not bill our time for, so understand that that's, again, part of the kind of working with you all and develop, making sure we understand how you work and you understand and can ask us any questions and provide us direction. So I'm happy to answer any questions or Stephanie can add or answer any questions as well.
I have a question. What's the difference between Olson and Olson and a smaller firm? Like, what's the benefits of that?
Well, I think the benefit of Olson and Olson is that we have a number of attorneys who may not directly do municipal work, but they have expertise in a wide variety of areas. So, for example, we have litigators who are board certified in litigation and appellate work. We have two board-certified employment and labor attorneys that provide really area-specialized expertise that, you know, and I'll tell you all, I was a solo for many years. If I had an employment question, I called Brian Bagley at Olson & Olson. That was always my first reaction was, I can't answer this, but I know Brian knows it. So I think that's really the benefit. We have people there who've developed agreements from a very complex level, who have dealt with real estate, who deal with land use issues. So I think you get a wide variety of a great breadth of knowledge and experience. Okay. Somebody told me the other day it's like more than 480 years of experience involved, all of us together.
So if something came up that maybe the associate didn't specialize in or you didn't, you could just go down the hall and you don't have to spend a bunch of billable hours researching it, things like
that. Yeah,
and that's how are we getting the $175 rate? Is that because we're going to use an associate? That
right. So we propose that Stephanie, we bill it at $175 an hour. I bill to small clients at $225. So you know, we propose using Stephanie if there's particularly if there's a research project or you know something that might take four attorney time, because then you would be billed at that lower rate. Absolutely, you could have her come present, come talk to you if it needed to be discussed at a city council meeting. On more complex issues would be probably where I would get more involved. Yes. Although I'm happy to be at meetings as required and so forth.
You had said something about coming quarterly, just as part of...
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of an example. So about 10 years ago when I started representing Morgan's Point, they did not have an attorney come to all of their meetings. In fact, they rarely had an attorney at their meetings. And, you know, that's fine. You get everything done ahead of time to where, you know, if the attorney has to be involved. But I kind of felt sometimes disconnected. So I would sometimes go quarterly just to kind of put in, get a face with, you know, who you're paying your bills to and that sort. It was just probably more that personal touch, yeah. Anyway. Then it evolves with each client. You know, some cities get very complex issues, or as you have more of a need, you may need an attorney more for a while, but then not for a while, and we're completely flexible with that. So. And I believe neither one of us has conflicts on your meeting dates at this point.
No, okay. No conflict.
I don't have any more questions.
Thank you. So we are going to vote on Mr. Hoskins' motion to adopt resolution number 2016-178, ending the appointment of Greg and Greg PC as city attorney, terminating legal services agreement with the law firm of Greg and Greg PC, appointing Kimberly Nicholson as city attorney.
Point of order. Are we going to vote without discussion?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I'd ask y'all if you had any questions or anything.
Well, I didn't have any questions for Ms. Mickles.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If I could interrupt too, Mayor, could you state for the record who made the motion and the second? We didn't put the names in the record.
Ron Hoskins made the motion, and Nancy Schnell seconded.
Thank you very much.
Sorry. What are we doing? Go ahead.
Thank you. Actually, this is a little bit tougher one than most, because as Ms. Mickelson said, it's an incoming mayor and political thing. But I'm curious, I guess, as to why we would want to increase our cost for legal services. No disrespect to Ms. Carrie Vaughn, but we would be paying her $25 an hour more than we've paid people with 40 years of experience. We have a city relationship with Greg and Greg, Dick Gregg Jr., since 2002, 14 years. But honestly, it goes well beyond that. In the late 1970s, Mr. Gregg defended Shoreacres and represented us in an appeal when the state of Texas exceeded their bounds. And we won that appeal, and so we have, you know, a 40-year or so relationship with the firm that is local, is certainly
more cost effective. And I just Olson & Olson seems to be a fine company. And certainly if we were into urban planning, I think Ms. Nicholson would be, be an excellent representative for us. Based upon her her professorship and other items, I just I'm not understanding the reasons for replacing counsel, especially at a time when we know that our city has financial problems, and I don't understand why we would want to increase those at this particular point in time. And I haven't heard, obviously I'm the only one speaking, so I haven't heard anyone address that particular subject. So that's my questions, I guess. Why would we do this? I understand the allure of going to a downtown law firm, but I also understand the practicality of having a local firm with deep ties in the community. And deep ties in the cities around us, and you know all the local clubs and charities. And I'm just that's my questions.
Okay. Do you have anything, John?
I would like to ask the young lady there. Were y'all representing Morgan's Point with the Boys and Girls Harbor lawsuit, or was that someone else that was representing them?
No, the firm continued to represent the city through TML Insurance Risk Pool. Mr. Hightower and the firm was lead counsel on that matter.
And what was the final conclusion on that case?
The city made an offer of settlement, which Boys and Girls Harbor accepted.
They did?
Yes, okay. They did. And they ended up transferring some title to a certain number of acres, 50 acres.
Okay.
Yes.
I'd just like to speak a little bit to what Alderman Dennings brought up. I'd just like to point out to council that in your packet this evening on our monthly budget report on page 4, line item 6365, 10, legal fees. We've still got several months left in this fiscal year, and as it stands right now, we are $5,726.50 over budget on our legal fees. And we've still got a few months to go. And I mean, no one has a crystal ball. Who's to say what something could come up? We don't know. But I mean, it's here in black and white. And we have had some issues with, some maybe not so good advice, let us say, regarding setting our tax rate this year, which cost the city extra money and kind of a headache, actually. So I would just like to point that out, that we are, where we're sitting, we may not be paying, we may be paying $25 more per billing hour if we make a change, but will we have as many hours billed, and will we be getting better representation? We won't know, because you never know what could happen. And I don't have a crystal ball, you don't have a crystal ball, no one does. But this doesn't require a crystal ball. This is in black and white, that we are almost $6,000 over budget with 3 months plus to go in our fiscal year. So that's all I have to say.
No, actually, the hourly rates don't necessarily scare me, because you get what you pay for. And if we, and I've been around attorneys in other areas as well, and it turns out that you can have an attorney that charges you half as much money, and at the end of the day, the bill is the same between two different attorneys, based on how the billing is done and the services that you receive. And in my opinion, I think Olson & Olson offers us better services. I mean, I certainly believe one of the things this council needs is a lesson, as Ms. Mickelson suggested, a lesson on how our procedure should be working. I mean, that is something we're all in dire need of, for sure. So I don't think we're really increasing our costs. If anything, it's going to be more of an even type cost, but we will be getting better services.
On our legal fees,
Question about that. So, okay, we have it right here on the ledger and stuff, but now do we have a breakdown about what we're paying for? I mean, as far as what we're looking at, that sort of thing?
I have requested, if you see that, if you want to.
Okay. That's what I was curious about, if whether or not you know what we're you know monthly, you know, or yearly, what our breakdown of our hours and all that is. So that's just quite a bit of information up there right now. But you know, that's one question I have is you know, what exactly are we getting? What exactly are we getting legal advice on? So other question. With them being downtown, do we pay mileage for them to come down here? Is that included in that? I mean, are we paying mileage, paying expenses for them to come back and forth as opposed to somebody that's local or that sort of thing?
Mileage costs are absorbed in the overhead okay. rate. Yeah.
All right.
So. I learned a long time ago in Dallas not to nickel and dime
them. It's been my experience that you can get nickel and dime pretty easy from everybody, not just lawyers. So. All right.
I'd also like to say that I think that, like Ron was saying, you may have two different attorneys and they spend more, one spends more time and the other is more expensive that you end up spending the same amount, or possibly even less if you have an attorney that can just go down the hall and get a quick answer to their questions versus spending a lot of extra time doing legal research. You know, I've received the billings for Greg and Greg, and there's a lot of time spent on research that seems he should know these things. But that being said, is there any more questions? So now we move to vote, right? Okay, so we're going to vote to approve to adopt resolution number 2016-178, ending the appointment of Greg and Greg PC as city attorney, terminating legal services agreement of Greg and Greg PC as city attorney, terminating legal services agreement with the law firm of Greg and Greg PC, appointing Kimberly Nicholson as city attorney, and authorizing the mayor to execute a legal service agreement with the law firm of Olson & Olson. Is there any debate? No, we're going to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those not in favor?
Aye.
Nay.
Nay.
Okay, so we have 3-2. Jennings, McCown, and Bowles, nay, and Schnell and Hoskins, aye.
We appreciate the opportunity
nonetheless. Thank you. So we're going to move on to 7.3. Discussion and action to adopt resolution number 2016-176, ratifying resolution number 2016-163, and directing the mayor to execute a professional employment agreement with the city administrator.
I move to adopt resolution 2016-176, ratifying resolution number 2016-163, and directing the mayor to execute a professional employment agreement with the city administrator.
I second. So there is a motion to adopt resolution number 2016-176, ratifying resolution number 2016-163, and directing the mayor to execute a professional employment agreement with the city administrator, and that was brought by Ron Hoskins.
Okay, I'll go ahead and start since I made the motion. All this does is it's really more designed to make sure that everything that was done is done 100%. Legally, all we're doing is ratifying that the contract is proper. Basically, it's designed more for unity, not divisiveness, because the new council agrees as well that everything's fine and dandy and that the contract should remain in place. It will remove any liability the city may potentially have, given the arguments that the parliamentary procedures that occurred when this contract was originally done was a bit vague at best. And that's the whole purpose of this agenda item, is to for the council to allow that kind of unity to happen. It's not going to change the employment agreement whatsoever, but it simply serves to clarify and ratify what was done prior. Thank you.
Mayor Sanford.
Yes.
I make a motion to postpone this indefinitely.
I'll second.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor by David Jennings to postpone indefinitely, seconded by Ron Hoskins.
Point of order, the motion to postpone indefinitely allows us to debate this to the actual original motion. So the debate does not end until we're all done talking about it.
Okay. So
that's correct.
So we can discuss it to the merits of the original motion. So anybody else have discussion?
I don't have anything to say. I concur with the lady's Kim Nicholson had just left, and she agreed that it wasn't done properly, and that just she said she would probably prefer to just start everything all over than trying to ratify an existing agreement, but that this should cover us.
I called TML last week about it, and they do not have an opinion on it.
Yep.
They've asked us that if we really want to get to meet up, we defer it to our city attorney. Let them look at it. You can go back to the old notes and all that. They do not have an opinion. They cannot make an opinion. Mm-hmm. And because of everything that's been done with it, they said probably the best is have the attorneys look at it. So.
I spoke with Zendia, this was through the CML though. I spoke with Zendia Thomas about 2 weeks ago about this, and maybe it's because she's brand new, like 2 months on the job. She did give me an opinion because of the procedure. And in her opinion, she thought it was not done properly. Maybe that's because she's only been there 2 months. But so that was with someone with TML as well.
Right. So I mean, you're going to get different opinions. Gentleman I spoke to, his name was Bill. Pardon, I don't have his last name. I didn't write it down. But he checked with a couple of other attorneys, came back, and he's like, you know, with everything that's going on, he said probably best in the city's best interest to go and talk to an attorney. The city attorney and talk about it, let them review all the notes and all the meeting minutes and all that. Now, do we want to spend the money to do that?
No.
So
that's why I put it on to go ahead and ratify it and approve it. That was the easiest, simplest way to resolve the conflict, since we're getting so many different stories and different opinions.
I think my opinion is in order to reduce the liability, we've got no choice. If we don't do this, we're going to need to get a city attorney a call.
If we open this up, we open up every vote of about the last 10 years. If we open this up tonight, when we approved the invoices, was that a proper motion, Mr. Hoskins?
We moved to pay our invoices.
It was not a proper motion. According to your terms, it was not a proper motion. Alderman Snell specifically said, I moved to pay our bills. Is that the agenda item? So, if we are going to ignore our customary and ordinary ways of business, we're going to open up every single transaction the city has done for the last 10 to 15 years. And I am not going to do that. I'll assure you, I'm not going to vote to do that. That vote was perfectly legal, and we need to just move on.
If this isn't passed tonight, we will forward it to the attorney. And they will have to give us.
And that is the mayor's prerogative if she wants to spend the city's money on this.
So, is there any more comments? Any discussion? So,
we're going to be voting on the motion to suspend indefinitely.
Okay, so we're voting on a motion to suspend indefinitely, brought by David Jennings.
Postpone indefinitely.
Postpone indefinitely, brought by David Jennings. Seconded.
I second it.
By Ron Hoskins. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay.
Nay.
3-2, the nays have it.
So now do we go back to the original?
Mm-hmm.
You can even give the names of the names.
Okay, so the nays were David Jennings and Jerome McCown, and the ayes were Nancy Schnell, Ron Hoskins, and Ricky Bowles.
I did not vote aye. I did not say anything. No.
It's okay. That means it's a 2-2 tie. You get to vote.
Okay. Well, I vote aye. Or no, I vote nay. Sorry. So it's ayes. So it's Jennings and McCown are ayes. Nancy Schnell and Ron Hoskins are nay. And then I was the tiebreaker.
Nay.
So it does not pass.
The motion to postpone it definitely
did not pass. The motion to postpone it definitely did not pass. So now we go back to the motion to approve. Is that where we're at?
Yep.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table to approve resolution number 2016-178, ending the appointment of Greg and Greg C. Oops, sorry. 7.3, a motion to approve resolution number 2016-176, ratifying resolution number 2016-163, and directing the mayor to execute a professional employment agreement with the city administrator. There's no further discussion. So we're going to vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those in favor?
All those opposed.
So, all those opposed, I'm sorry.
Nay.
And all those in favor?
So nay.
Okay, so we're not going to approve this. It did not pass 3-2, right?
Correct.
Bowles, Jennings, and McCown said nay. And Schnell and Hoskins said aye. If we don't have any other business, I move to adjourn. We are adjourned.